Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass. Takes a deep drop. Steps up. Looking to his right. And the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 303, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another 2 hours, staying until 5 o'clock as the Yankees celebrate a postseason clinching victory last night out in Seattle. A little late night baseball, nothing better than West Coast baseball. I love it. And to be on right after the Yankees clinch, woo, it is sweet. A decision by Boone, I don't understand, but hey, the Yankees get away with it. They win a game 2-1, and they are postseason bound. And the New York Mets look about the same. As this team right now on a roll, they continue to just play dominant baseball. They continue to pitch unbelievably well. As last night, they have a victory 10-0 over the Nationals. Quintana has been just unbelievable. And they score 9 runs in the fourth inning. You've got Nimmo with a big home run. Acuna, who's been everything you could have hoped for and more. This kid, I mean, the energy he's brought to a team that, let's be honest, the general manager and the manager thought would be a big enough concern without Lindor that they called a team meeting based on energy and trying to get past the idea that their MVP wouldn't be there, whatever the case may be. This kid has come in and completely helped rejuvenate them, bring them, like, obviously Alonso the other night, big game, right? Nimmo with the big home run that kind of broke this one open. But Acuna's been great defensively. He's come up with clutch hits. He's hit home runs. Like, he's done everything you could possibly do, plus a little athleticism, a little energy. Which, you know, whenever you can install youth into the team, it always picks up on the energy, and they've needed it. But now the season starts with a 4-game set against Philadelphia. But they are 2 games up, playing excellent baseball over Atlanta, who won last night. But right now this team is just, if you look at the starting pitching, right, the lineup has now exploded. The lineup was in a bit of a slump. You saw Vientos come through with a base hit that gave him a 3-0 lead in this game. He's been slumping like crazy over his last 40 or so at-bats, but he's kind of broken out of it. We talked about what Alonso did the other day. Like, they've scored a ton of runs now here against Washington after really being quiet with the bats for a while. But the starting pitching just continues to throw up zeros. You look at what they've done over their last 4 or 5 times through the rotation. Quintana's been unbelievable. Manaea has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. Severino. Peterson. McGill, like all of them, have just been lights out. It's not even just like, hey, they've been serviceable. Like, oh, man, you know, McGill gave you the 5 innings, 3 runs, kept them in the game. No, he's been dominant, 6 innings, 1 run. Peterson's having the best year of his career. Think about where these guys were. I think I saw, I don't know if it was last night or the night before, but Gary Cohen was talking about it. Think of where all these pitchers were. Think of the job. You want to talk about this general manager and what he's done with this team, right? I mean, look no further than the starting pitching. I mean, as they got rid of two older guys who neither have stayed healthy throughout this year in Verlander and Scherzer, Now, yes, Scherzer won a championship. I'm sure he was fine with the trade last year. But ultimately, the Mets bring in prospects, pay for prospects, and go out there and put together piecemeal a starting rotation that's been the best in baseball. With guys like Luis Severino couldn't pitch for the Yankees last year. We were all calling them an unserious, our new favorite word for baseball teams, an unserious franchise for continuing to throw Luis Severino out there last year. Manaea was in the bullpen. David Peterson, no Met fan on earth wanted to see him pitch again. They lose their ace, Senga, who might come back and I guess, you know, throw a couple innings here and get piggybacked by Quintana. We'll see if that's the plan for the Mets moving forward and trying to get their ace back into the rotation. Why, though? Honestly, what do they need him for? That's how good this rotation has been. McGill, another guy, like these guys have been off the scrap heap. I know the offense exploded. I know that's going to be the story in this young kid and whether or not Lindor and when we can see Lindor again and is Pete Alonso going to step up. Like, that's been a lot of the conversation. This starting rotation, without question, is why they are here. And I didn't think it was possible. I thought this team was going to be built on offense, and this rotation's been incredible. But they've been scoring a ton of runs, and you get ready for a Philadelphia series. This is the season right now. This is pennant race baseball right now against Philadelphia. And, you know, what they've done has just been remarkable. And, you know, you got to talk about Nimmo, too. Now, the thing about Nimmo is, and I find Nimmo very fascinating. Nimmo signs the contract. Nimmo is beloved by some, right? I think most Met fans like him, I would think. But I'm sure there are some who are down on him. He's had a miserable second half. There's no doubt about it. And there are some who look at him like the sabermetrics guys because of his ability to walk. You know, he's kind of like one of those sabermetric names that you hear always far better than people give him credit for. And his numbers, you know, tell the truth and all that kind of stuff. He was, without question, one of the driving forces of this team getting back into it from 11 games down, under 500. And after that meeting, he took off and carried the offense. He should have been an all-star. We talked about that. Like, he should have been an all-star over Pete. He had an incredible run there, and he has gone ice cold. But what he has shown you in the, I want to say balls department, for lack of a better term, but what he has shown you in the self-confidence and leadership role with this team is actually pretty damn surprising, and you got to respect it. Now, he's got to follow it up, but I respect Pete. I respect Nimmo for what he's done vocally, sending messages through those post-game interviews. Like, I don't know if I ever remember, and we talked about it when it happened, I don't know if I ever remember another player challenging, daring, calling out the general manager to make moves at the deadline. Not just, hey, we think we're good enough. You know, we'd really love to get some pieces here. Like, he flat out challenged Stearns and dared him to go get pieces to help this team. As vocal as any player I've ever heard try to make sure his team went out and sold. Excuse me, bought. Opposite. Bought. Now, that might have been because there was some talk at the beginning of the year of selling, and they knew what the plan was for this year and all that, the talk around the trade deadline the year before and selling earlier than people thought with David Robertson and everything. So the Mets had put him in a position where, even despite the fact that they were playing much better, there was some talk and some fear that selling might be what David Stearns thinks is what's best for the franchise. So, okay, maybe it's a different set of circumstances than some other times, but to stand there in the postgame and go right after your general manager, I found very interesting and respectable. And now, challenging you, the fans, and, you know, we always joke, I know, you know, Lugie likes to say this a lot, you can't take on the fans, the fans are undefeated. I know I didn't say it as fast as or as loud as he does, but you can't take on the fans are undefeated. And it's been a little bit of a talking point about the crowd sizes during these games, during these pennant race games, during these games that are going to decide whether or not the Mets are playing postseason baseball. And the numbers haven't been great. And I mean, a conversation about the attendance has been going on since, you know, Doc and Daryl days earlier this year in June. But right now, it's been a little surprising, the numbers. And for a player to get on the mic and literally, like, he called all of you out. Now, he'll do it under the guise of saying, hey, I need you here. We need this building filled. Blah. Yes. But he also said, where the hell are you? That's what the Mets said. You just heard Mendoza say it. I expect a packed house. Like, they're calling on you to show up to these games against Philadelphia to end this homestand. What is what been as miraculous a season? These are as fun as they get. Because let me tell you something. As a Yankee fan, 2017 is the most fun I've had since I was a child. Since I was a boy. Since 1996. Because hopefully what's going to happen here with the Mets and what the expectation is with this owner and his deep pockets and this general manager who built up a team that's still winning divisions in Milwaukee, that those two things combined are going to lead to the most prosperous time in Mets franchise history. And hopefully that's the case. And I think there's reasons to believe it. There's reasons to be less optimistic about it. But I think that there's a reason to very much believe that you are about to hit, especially with all the added playoff teams in this new format, a stretch where playoffs are not as elusive as they've been for this team and franchise. And you're going to head into seasons with a lot more expectations. Because the Met fan got the gift, in some ways, of having the highest payroll in the sport and not carrying the burden of what that typically brings. And what it brings for Met fans, for Yankee fans who feel, you know, I had a guy the other day on Twitter tell me, you know, he used the word glee, which I thought was funny. But he said, what's with all the glee? Save your glee for when they win a championship. Like, we're not even allowed to be joyous or have fun or enjoy the playoff, the regular season, or the clinching of the playoffs, because all that matters is winning a World Series. And if you crack a smile until then, you're not a real Yankee fan. But the Mets have the benefit of zero or little expectations heading into the season. It doesn't get more fun than this, because you hope to be in the same position year in and year out. With expectation, it won't be so much fun. This is the year where they came out of nowhere. This is the year 11 games down. This is the year you don't have your ace for at any point. You've got all these one-year contracts in the starting rotation. You've got, you know, this lineup that you're hoping will stabilize because you're going to do something with Pete Alonso, or you're going to bring in someone else. You know, everyone thinks it's going to be Juan Soto. It won't be. But you're going to bring in Juan Soto. You're going to have this lineup. You're going to be a team that you expect to battle for divisions with the Phillies and the Braves and be there in the postseason year in and year out. This is the surprise season. And you've got your starting outfielder calling you out for not being there and asking you to be there in Philadelphia, versus Philadelphia. And part of me loves it. Part of me is a little confused by it. But honestly, I think it takes balls either way. Now, again, much like Alonso, you want to step up in the meeting. Much like Lindor, you want to step up in the meeting. You got to follow it up by having your play do the talking. You want to call out the fan base? You want to say, where the hell are you? You want to say, we need you against the Phillies? They're going to need more of the 3-run home runs you put forth last night. They're going to need more of an offensive performance than you've given them in the second half. You are going to have to be alongside Pete Alonso carrying this team without Lindor. Because you know what? I don't know if you're going to see Lindor against the Phillies. I just don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm pessimistic about whether or not he's going to play in this series. But you want to call out the fan base? You better show up. And they have shown up and shown out against the Washington Nationals, absolutely pounding them. Everything is going right. The starting pitching, the lineup, the young prospect who feels like, and me and Fleas are talking about it, sometimes you get prospects who even flounder at times in the minor leagues. Acuna wasn't setting the world on fire in the minor leagues. Jason Dominguez last year really wasn't setting the world on fire in the minor leagues. I remember Gary Sanchez a couple years ago. 2016 wasn't really setting, you know, the minor leagues on fire. Judge hit a bunch of home runs, but his numbers weren't, you know, crazy. Like, sometimes you're just done with playing in the minor league. Sometimes you're done with the bus rides. Sometimes you know you're good enough, you're prepared enough, you've been coached up enough. It's just time to find out if you can do it in the show or not. And it feels a little bit like that with Acuña. It feels like he was ready for this moment. They've called him up, and he's run with it. And, I mean, just add another fun little side note to the story that is the 2024 Mets. I mean, it's unbelievable. How many can you squeeze out? You got 10 days left. You're adding new ones. God bless you. Go to the games. Listen to your outfield. Listen to Nimmo. Listen to your manager. Go out there and enjoy this because it doesn't get better. I mean, you literally have had a million side fun stories to go along with being the hottest team in baseball since May 30th. So right now you've got the Yankees already in the postseason. The Mets looking like there's nothing stopping them from getting to the postseason. And we are going to have postseason baseball in this city. And I'm looking forward to it. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu? Go ahead.
It's always good to be back in the postseason. Now let's see
It feels empty. You know that, I mean, and we've experienced it every year since 2009 when you lose and you realize the length and the amount of games and the difficulty it is just to get back to the same position you're in. Like, you just know it. And when they lose, you're just like, oh, I got to wait a whole year to get back to this moment, a whole year to get back to the postseason. And then last year, to not even get that payoff, to not even get the feeling of waking up on game day, knowing that the Yankees are playing a postseason game that night, you know, especially what we do and you love to listen to, like, you know, getting excited about it all day long, pumped up all day, listening to, you know, the morning show, BT and Sal, afternoon, you know, Evan and Tiki and Sean and everybody getting ready for this game, listening to me, if you're crazy enough, up at 3 o'clock in the morning, getting ready for the game that night.
Like, hello?
We didn't even get, I'm listening to you. Hello? Are you listening to me?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
Now, it felt very empty last year, and it's felt very empty since 2009. Now, let's hope they can get it done. They have to have the pitch. Nestor was very good last night.
Mm-hmm.
The bullpen held its own. And the simple fact is, they have to hit. It hasn't been the pitching in the playoffs.
No.
It's been the hitting.
It's consistent.
And Judge and Soto have got to carry the show. It's that, and they have
it's
to have
that
the
simple.
Supporting cast around them.
No, 100% right, Stu. That is 100% correct. Those two guys have to be the main driving force. It's silly. Like, I haven't spoke to Sal about it. I wish I had a chance to see him and get a chance to talk to him. I think it's silly to say Soto is masking the issues of the Yankees. I get the point. I know what he means. Soto is the Yankees. Like, them being good enough to carry the team is part of it. Like, that's like saying, oh, you know, sure, you know, Ruth hit 3 home runs and called a shot, but where would they be without him? Like, we don't have to find out. Like, where would the 61 Mets be without Mantle and Maris? I don't know. Nor do I care. Soto and Judge have to be the guys. Now, listen, you'll need other guys to step up. You'll need the Steve Pierces of the world, the David Ecksteins of the world. The guys will come through and get you clutch hits here and there. Hopefully, the Yankees have guys like that. But if they don't hit, they're not going to win. And they need those guys specifically to hit and win. But I want to have a conversation about a couple Yankees as we're going to talk to Chris and Farmingdale in a second right after the break. Chris, I apologize. Hang in there. There's a couple conversation around a couple different guys. One, we'll get to Stanton not in the lineup for a second straight day. And two, Anthony Rizzo. And what he gives you offensively and what we saw him give you defensively. And how important is he come postseason time? 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. We still got Jets to talk about as they play tonight against the Patriots, but it is a little bit of celebration baseball time. The Yankees have clinched. They are in the postseason. They are now 5 games up on the Baltimore Orioles. The Mets with another just dominant victory. 2 games up on the Atlanta Braves for the 3rd wild card, tied for the 2nd wild card. Welcoming in the Philadelphia Phillies for the biggest series thus far this season. It's pennant race baseball, and it's fun.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. Norwood missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, let's get to the phones. 329, McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this baseball line. We do got to get to the Jets and their game against New England. And we'll have picks for you, break it down a little bit. We'll obviously have more reaction time. Tomorrow is my first midnight ride in a while. I'll be on tomorrow, midnight. Right, just as the right after the Jet game, pretty much we can break down the game. Hopefully, it's a victory that Jets desperately need to win. I mean, that's not even a question. And I'm hoping, and I'm thinking, this will be the game where the Jets, the passing attack has to be a little bit more. Listen, the running backs have been such a dynamic part of the team. Even early on, they've run a lot. Plus, even just catching the ball out of the backfield, both touchdown passes were to Allen and Breece Hall in the game. I'm looking to get the ball to Wilson in this game. The D-backs for the Patriots have been really weak. Geno Smith threw all over them. I know the game was tight and went to overtime. I'm not saying they're a pushover, but Geno Smith had a big game. They threw a bunch. Metcalf had a big game. You know, this is the game where I really would like to see this offense that looks so slow and stale and just off in the first half. And then really the passing game has been a lot of dinking and dunking and checkdowns. And I know that's kind of what the defense has given them over the first couple weeks. And I think you could argue they've played two somewhat talented defenses. Like 49ers clearly, although Sam Darnold did a pretty good job against them, but 49ers clearly one of the best defenses in the league. And then even Tennessee. Tennessee stops the run. Tennessee's probably, you know, a little bit better. And if it wasn't for, let's be honest, if it wasn't for the quarterback throwing the ball away, they might have two wins. As opposed to being 0-2. But this New England team, as much as they've impressed and they won that game against Cincinnati and they took Seattle to overtime, if you look at it, the defensive backfield is not very good. They don't have much of an offense except the run game. If they can shut down the run game and try and make Brissett and this offense beat them, and they pretty much throw strictly to the tight end. If you look at it, Hunter Henry's having monster days. Like, they have not been able, and hopefully, you know, I think Reed should hopefully be healthy for the game. I got to double check that. I think they're expecting Reed back. I know they're going to see if Mosley can test out that toe. But if you could shut down the short pass attack and over the middle of the field to the tight end and shut down the running game, because I trust the cornerbacks. I know Sauce had a weak game for him and down game for him. Against these Patriot wide receivers, I don't think it's much of an issue. So stop the run and get a little bit more attacking with your pass offense. Go down the field, get Garrett Wilson involved in this game. Should be a recipe for success for the Jets. We'll give you some picks in a little bit. Thursday night football coming up. We are celebrating pennant race baseball. The Yankees clinch a playoff spot. They're the best team in the American League, and there's no reason why they can't be. They shouldn't be back in the World Series. And the Mets right now are as hot as anybody. Offense back on track after blowing up the Nationals for a couple days, and they get ready for a Philadelphia series that very likely could decide their season. Chris in Farmingdale, what's up, Chris?
T-Mac, man, I'm pumped, man.
How could you not be pumped?
I can't believe I'm actually this happy again in the middle of September. I thought, you know, this time of year, I'm like, I just got to look forward to the Giants. Come on, when's the next first preseason game? No, I'm pumped about the Mets, baby.
Right. And you should be. Be pumped. They look freaking good. They look good.
I'm telling you, I know you don't want to hear this, but they get Soto next year. I mean, this is scary. I mean, look at the prospects they got coming up. This team could be like the Astros. And I was saying they, and I know I was getting ahead of my stuff, and I was saying it, but like, this team, whatever they do this year, you know, it might not matter as much, but I was like, I could see this team being a dynasty. I was like, if Acuña plays like he's going to be playing, if this team can build these prospects, and if Steve Cohen can get Soto here, I'm like, this team could be stupid scary. I'm like, I'm seeing a future here. And I'm telling you what, I think J.D. Martinez has found himself on the bench because if you cannot take his bat out of the lineup. When Lindor comes back, if he comes back tonight or whenever, you can DH him, rush his back a little bit, and you put Acuna at short, and you flip-flop him. You can't take his bat out of the lineup. And he's eligible for the postseason. This kid's a spark right now, and he's hungry.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's played like that. Before you get all, you know, pumped about a dynasty, let's get through this little bit of it. Don't ruin your excitement by looking too far ahead. And again, I can tell you right now, like, Acuna's not going to be this good forever. He's come up. He's done very well. We've seen Dominguez did the same thing for a 9-game stretch for the Yankees. It doesn't mean he's going to be a world beater forever. You got to see he's going to get into a slump. You know, he's going to struggle. So before you have him, you know, in the Hall of Fame leading this team with him and Juan Soto in the middle of the lineup, take a break. But he's been everything you could have possibly wanted for this team right now. And I don't disagree with you. I mean, you know, J.D. Martinez has really struggled. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, if you could get both of these guys into the lineup now, again, when you get into these big pressure games, I don't know if this manager, who has held people accountable and has given, you know, and given warranted playing time to the guys who play well and deserve it, but you're going to want an experienced guy like J.D. Martinez over a young kid who's never had at bats before. Like, it's going to be an interesting thing. But right now, he's given them excitement. He's given them exuberance. And he's kind of made you forget that Lindor's not here for a couple of days. But this series coming up, it's going to be very big.
And I'm going to Sunday's game.
Good.
And I cannot wait because I haven't been to a pennant race game between the Mets and Phillies since 2008. And when I was at that game in Shea Stadium in 2008, I mean, that stadium shook. I want to see if Citi Field can do the same thing, and I know it's going to be rocking. And I know tonight it looked like it filled up a little more than the first two nights, and I guess because it was the Nationals. But I really hope the Met fans show up. You cannot let that stadium be half Philly fans. I mean, come on. We're just as good or probably even better. I mean, we can eat our cake, too. It's not just, oh, look at the Phillies. They're so great. And it's that. No, we're good now. We're great. I mean, and if these guys can get hot again like they did in June and stay like this, like everybody's saying, they have a chance of going all the way, too. And just, you know, just as much as any other team. So these Met fans, if you're listening, Met fans, and I know you are, you got to show up to this series. Don't let it be a whole bunch of Philly fans in one section. You got to take back what we did back in the late 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the ballpark should be full, and Met fans should be excited to go there. Last night was 34,000. That's not a terrible number. I saw it was in the 20s the night before. This is a huge series. Now, again, it's the Nationals. I think for the Phillies, they will get up. I think the fans will be there. Fleeks, you going to any of these games?
Unfortunately, no. I'm going to the Jet game tonight, and then I have a wedding Friday, Saturday. Otherwise, I would go Friday.
Right. All right, so Fleek's not going to be there. One less guy. Someone's got to take his place. But I think, listen, it's exciting time right now, and this series is going to be huge. You got Severino going tomorrow night, or later tonight, excuse me. Hate when I do that. For a big game. And this is going to be the determination, like this series heading into the Atlanta series. This is it. This is the season. These next two series are the season. And we'll find out where the Mets are. But they've been incredible. They've done everything. Right now they're scoring runs. They have a huge one inning. They've done a good job with that too. If you look at it, when they score runs, they tend to score them in bunches. They had the six run inning in the ninth against Toronto. They tend to have these innings where they just get on a roll and score a bunch. There's not a lot of picket fences. It's not a lot of, if the Mets score six runs, it's very seldom, you know, 6-1 run innings. There's a lot of these massive big innings, which change games. It's always nice to tack on and keep scoring, but big innings, crooked numbers, are what change games. And the Mets have done a nice job of that, but it's been the pitching. It's just so remarkably good. And if you look right now around the league, it's just crazy how good their starting pitching has been for a long time now. For a long time. And yeah, this National League, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun here because right now, you know, Milwaukee's clinched. But other than that, and you look at it, we talked about it, how much better the National League is. Like, there's really very little juice. The juice in the American League is pretty much strictly the Tigers. Like, and you want to take other solace in something else, Yankee fans. The Yankees have pretty much put an end to both Boston and Seattle's playoff hopes. Like, taking 3 out of 4 from Boston, they're now 4 games back of the wild card. If they would have won 2 of those games, they'd be 2 games back. They'd be right in the mix. The Yankees pretty much put an end to Boston's season in that 4-game set. I know they want to call Cole names from the bench, and the manager wants to say things were done on purpose and make excuses and try and get everybody rallied up. And, oh, if we bounce back, it's because of the Yankees and blah, 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 blah. The Yankees ended their season, taking 3 of 4. The only juice really from the American League is that can Detroit come in, who's now 0.5 game back of Minnesota for that last wild card spot. Like, that's it. But in the National League, you've got the Diamondbacks, the Mets tied for the 3rd wild card. Atlanta's 2 games back. San Diego's 2.5 games up on them. And if you look at it right now, the Atlanta Braves, or let's just say the Mets. The Mets right now at 84-68, the 3rd wild card, tied with Arizona for the 2nd wild card. Those two teams at 84, they'd be leading the American League West, and they would be right now tied with the top wild card in the American League.
You know what's amazing about this, too, for the AL? If the Tigers do get in,
yeah,
there's a chance that the only two teams you might be a little scared of, Astros, Tigers, would have to play each other right away in a best of 3.
Yeah, you eliminate one of them. And I guess that's the reason for wanting to be the 1 seed is now the scoreboard watching for the New York Yankee fan turns from Baltimore, really. Like, I know it's not impossible, and you still got to play them 3 games, and theoretically, if they sweep the Yankees, they get right back in it, I suppose. But right now, with a 5-game lead, this division's over. So now you're looking at Cleveland and trying to secure the number 1 overall seed, which right now the Yankees have a 1.5-game lead over Cleveland for the number 1 seed in the American League. Because as much as I'll tell you, like I said this yesterday, I make no qualms about it. I, in many ways, deep in my soul, and I've been saying this, and Fleegs can back me up on this, I've been saying this since last year. Last year, I wanted the Astros to win in the playoffs because I wanted the team. I wanted the Yankees to be the team to knock them off their perch. I didn't want some other lousy team to step up and beat them in the ALDS and then have them fall on their face in the regular season the next year and be gone forever. I want the opportunity to be the ones to stick it to them. And I know the Yankees will never get even because of how many times they beat the Yankees. It's not about even. It's about revenge. And I do want it. But I make no qualms saying I'm still terrified of them. And they are probably, in my mind, the most feared of all the teams. I think you got to make the best case considering their lefty pitching at the top and who they are and what they've done and the kind of group they put together and how they play in the postseason. To me, the scariest team is the Houston Astros. And by being the 1 seed, at the very least, you avoid them until the ALCS. And you don't have to get into a 5-game set, because a 5-game set certainly scares me if you get into a 5-game set and have to face Valdez and Kikuchi, you know, 4 times, because the Yankees and the left-handed pitching scares the hell out of me. So they'll have a wild card series, they'll have an ALDS, and then if they get through both of those rounds to get back to what would be their 9th consecutive American League Championship Series, then the Yankees hopefully will be there waiting for them. But I'm not afraid of them, and I want them in many ways.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the 3rd date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that 3rd date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I want the revenge. I do. I want them to feel my pain.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 349. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. How about the news of, Jadrian Wojnarowski calling it quits? That was, shocking, and the reaction all over Twitter was crazy. Everybody was, I like Woj. I like him. I have no idea. I've never met him. I don't know him at all. But he does an incredible job. You could argue, certainly in sports media or reporting or whatever you want to say. He's as good at his job as anyone is as good at theirs. There's no doubt about it. And so for him to leave, ruining drafts to go and coach his or GM the St. Bonaventure, his alma mater, wish him the best. But it was almost like somebody died. The reaction on Twitter was crazy. Everybody was like, oh my God, I'm so... All right, he tells us Ben Simmons is getting traded again. He does a great job, don't get me wrong. A phenomenal job. Too good a job sometimes during the draft. But now everyone's calling for Shams to be hired by ESPN to be his replacement. Doesn't he have a job, Shams? He works for... doesn't he work for, Yahoo or somebody? Why does he have to go to work for ESPN? He does the same thing. He'll just be the new go-to guy who's the best at it. That's all. Who's going to be the next king of getting the early information? But Woj said, I think there was a cut, or he said it somewhere, but he said, I'm tired of, unless I'm being, ball sacked here, for lack of a better term, I thought I read that he said he's tired of holding his phone at the urinal and he wants his life back. I could understand that. And what he does, you're constantly on the phone. You ever see, obviously, just even Adam Schefter on any of the ESPN football shows he does? He's constantly on his phone, taking a break. They're all doing a segment. He's texting. You live on your phone. My wife thinks I have Woj's job, actually. She's always yelling at me for being on my phone. But I could see that. God bless him. Good luck. And I wish you well.
Do you think the phrase or the term Woj bomb sticks around to the point where 20 years from now, kids won't even know the origins?
That's true. It's just like when someone breaks news, it's a Woj bomb. Maybe. That's how good he is at his job that he's created a term around his name. Maybe. That's funny. Maybe. I could see that. Woj bomb. You're going to miss saying that. Gonna miss saying that Woj bomb, but I just thought the reaction on Twitter was it was less like oh good for you, it was more like what are we gonna do? I think we'll all be okay. 888-808-1019. As we watch the Yankees celebrate, we'll do a little Jets at 4 o'clock. I did a little bit. We're gonna do picks. Actually, did we tell Marco what time to come in? You want to just hang out after 4 o'clock? He's back on the phone screening calls. After the 4 o'clock update, we won't go through the whole, Fleece, after 4 o'clock, we'll have Marco just stick around and we'll give a quick Jet pick. We don't have to play the music or anything crazy. We'll just give a quick Jets pick. But I want to have a conversation briefly about Anthony Rizzo. Because Anthony Rizzo, comes through with the big hit in this game, the double in extra innings that gives the Yankees the game-winning run. And his at-bats look better than when he's at his worst, but the production's just not there. But if you remember, early on in the year, Anthony Rizzo, when he was healthy, before he broke his arm, Anthony Rizzo's defense was an issue. We talked about it a lot. He made a bunch of errors. He had a miss-up that cost him a game around the bag. Like, his offense looked bad. His defense looked bad, even though his offense was struggling too, but his defense looked bad. He looked washed up athletically in every endeavor of baseball. And now, I'm at the point, watching this game last night, I don't care about Anthony Rizzo's offense. Anthony Rizzo has got to be the starting first baseman of every game in the postseason because, namely, the rest of the infield defense sucks. Like, Jazz Chisholm is great. I love him. He's been a huge addition to the team, and he can make amazing plays at third base. He is so athletic. He can get to so many balls, and the arm strength is so good. He can throw from all over the field. Like, he can be an excellent defensive third baseman. And I think he's almost there, but you saw last night, the throws are just, you can't trust him to make an on-the-money throw consistently. Gleyber Torres leads the American League in errors from the second base position and almost bobbled his way out of a double play in this game. And Anthony Volpe, as good as he is defensively, the one issue is arm strength. They need a excellent defensive first baseman. And you saw it last night, the amount of scoops. Because I'm telling you right now, we might all quibble about offense, and I'm with you. We need offense, no doubt. You're going to be screaming if Oswaldo Cabrera allows a ball in the dirt to get past them, and suddenly in the eighth inning, you're dealing with a runner at second base on what should have been an easy ground ball to Jazz Chisholm. They need Anthony Rizzo defensively with this defense. We talk about this defense a lot as I'm watching Clay Holmes as he's about to blow the game in the eighth inning on the replay. Part of the reason he has so many blown saves, most of it's on him. Part of the reason he has so many blown saves is this infield defense isn't very good. And they didn't have a good first baseman. And they were playing with DJ LeMahieu. And they were playing with Ben Rice. Rizzo has got to be there and be the defensive first baseman. You saw how much value he brings. Plus, it's a guy who won a World Series, broke a 100-year curse with the Cubs, and I would still trust in a big spot to give you at least the representative at bat. So I think that question, to me, you want to mix Cabrera in, there's other ways to mix him in. Rizzo, lefty on the mound, righty on the mound, I don't care. Anthony Rizzo should be the starting first base every game of the playoffs. There's another guy who needs to be in the game every game into the playoffs as well, in Giancarlo Stanton.